Today I'd like to talk on the topic, are angels visiting the world today? And if so, do they bring revelations to mankind? Are there really angelic visitors? According to John chapter 1, it says that the angels ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Now that's a very interesting passage because it says the angels are here and they're ascending and descending. Not that they're descending from heaven and ascending, actually their primary mode of activity is right here in the world. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, angels are ministers to serve those who shall be heirs of salvation. Every believer is given a guardian angel from the moment that they are born. And that guardian angel protects them right through life. Matthew chapter 18 verse 10. Their angels behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7 talks about angels being ministering spirits. So there are angels in the world today. In fact, in the last book of the Bible, practically in every chapter, there are references to angels coming with revelations declaring what God is going to do in the world. Angels do exist. There are only over 300 references to them in the Bible, and they are very active in the world today. Well, let me ask this question then. Are all of the angels that are visiting the world today good beings, or are some of them bad beings? Now, you may wonder why we would ask that, but it is no more profound a question than to ask, are all of the people in the world today good people, or are there bad people? And I think the answer to both questions is the same. There are good beings in extraterrestrial space, and there are bad beings there, just as on this earth there are good and bad beings. In fact, the bad angels are called in the scripture a number of things. The angels of the devil, demons, evil spirits, familiar spirits. There are a number of descriptions of them, but there are evil spirits in the world today, and I'd just like to draw your attention to some of the scriptural passages on the activity of evil spirits in the world today. In brief, what in the world are these bad angels doing? Since we looked at what the good angels were doing, what in the world are these bad creatures doing? John chapter 12 and verse 31, Jesus said, now judgment is upon this world, and the ruler of this world shall be cast out. He referred to a spiritual ruler of this world, not the political ruler in Rome, the Caesar, but a spiritual ruler who would be judged. John 14, verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. A coming spiritual power that has nothing in Christ. John 16, verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Jesus said that the cross on which he was to die was the judgment of the spiritual powers of this world. Ephesians 6, 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, since the Apostle Paul, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The real powers of this world are not political, they're not financial, they're not even military. The real powers in this world are spiritual forces. John chapter 5, verse 19 from the first epistle. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. There is an evil power in this world that encompasses the whole world, and the entire world lies in the lap of that evil one. As a matter of fact, not only do evil angels find their activity in the political realm, but according to Daniel, the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, each particular government of the world has a hierarchy of angels, and there is an evil angel at the head of this spiritual government. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. There was a particularly powerful angel that was connected with the nation Persia, which angel, incidentally, is very active presently in the world today, as you can see from the hatred and the animosity that is being stirred up in that country. He withstood me for 21 days. Daniel's prayer was delayed for 21 days. God heard his prayer the first day, sent an angel. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, was hindered for 3 weeks in bringing the answer because of an evil angel that intercepted him, the angel of Persia. And behold, Michael, who is the angel to protect the Jewish nation, the angel Michael is assigned particularly to the Jewish nation. Were it not for this angel and his power, the Jewish nation would have been annihilated by now because of all the anti-Semitism and the hatred of God's chosen people. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. An incredible spiritual battle that goes beyond, that goes on behind the scenes. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14 says, "For they are the spirits of demons performing signs," they can even do miracles, "which go out to the kings of the whole earth to gather them together for the war of the great day of God Almighty." Active in the world today and released during the tribulation period will be angels who will gather all nations together for the battle of Armageddon. Now, you don't have to read the Bible to know that that's coming. You don't have to read the Bible to know that the great powers of Russia in the north, Ezekiel 38 and 39 says, that they will come down into the land of Palestine to invade the land of Palestine, to squelch out God's chosen people in the land of Palestine in the last days. And these people will have with them Persia. Persia is, of course, Afghanistan and Iran, the very place that Russia is invading today. Furthermore, it says, after that great battle, that China will come with 200 million soldiers. The exact amount of soldiers that China can muster in the world today has been numbered in the papers. The Bible says that China will come with 200 million soldiers and will invade the land of Palestine, and all of the armies of the earth will be manipulated there in the plains of Esdraelon. A friend of mine showed me a picture recently, a tourist sign that they had there in the plains of Esdraelon, which says, according to the Bible, the last great battle of the earth will be fought here. It's a rather interesting tourist attraction, because it's not going to be a tourist attraction when it occurs. All of this will occur because of spiritual forces of evil that are mustered against God's people and against the product of God's people, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was produced. Now, what specifically do these evil angels do besides work through governments? Well, they work in the lives of individuals as well. And here's what they stir up. Number one, rebellion against God. The evil forces of this world want people to rebel. They don't care what they rebel, because they know in disorder and chaos they can accomplish their purposes. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no one deceive you in any way, for first will come the apostasy, and the man of lawlessness will be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, and he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God." The spirit of lawlessness is inspired by the evil one. Wars are stirred up by evil spirits. Revelation 16:14, the spirit of demons performing signs, gathering the kings of the whole earth together to battle. Idolatry. Do you realize that behind every idol is an evil spirit? And that this evil spirit does whatever he can to convince the person that his prayers are being answered? Have you ever wondered why it is that people that pray to idols sometimes get their prayers answered? Have you ever wondered why it is that people who are involved in polytheistic religions have unusual things that occur? Well, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10:20. "No, but I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to become sharer of demons." Every idol has behind it a demon who is ready to cooperate with anyone who is willing to worship something rather than the living God. Moses, you recall, said to his people, "You shall not make any graven image of things in heaven above or in earth or beneath the earth." Leviticus 17, verse 7 from the Torah says, "And they shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute among them throughout their generations." There was a goat demon worshipped by some of the people in the Old Testament. Also, demons are active not only in rebellion and in wars and in idolatry, but one of the things evil angels are active in the world today doing is to get people to slander God. Job 1:9, Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" What a slander to God. The God who created Job, who gave him life, who gave him everything he had, and Satan says, he's not giving you that for nothing. Just see, he'll take it away from you, and Job will curse God. Also, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and verse 1, it says, Satan stood up to accuse them. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority have come, for the accuser of our brethren, this evil spirit called Satan, is cast out of heaven." Incidentally, when he left, he took one-third of all the good angels with him. Two-thirds of all the spiritual beings in outer space are good. One-third are evil, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. The next area, and this is an area that I've had a great deal of interest in, that these evil angels are acting, is the area of cults and religions. We have cults springing up in the United States practically one a week. And the era of cults is an amazing era, because behind each of these cults, we're told in the Bible, are evil spirits. Take a very innocent one to begin with, called the Children of God. When the great Jesus revival took place in the West Coast in the late 60s, out of it grew a group that seemed very Christian. The leader was a former Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor, a wonderful church missionary program all over the world, by the name of David Berg. David Berg began to get revelations from an angel called Abraham, and the angel would tell him certain things. Now, to make a long story short, these revelations that David Berg, a wonderful Bible-believing preacher, got, ultimately led him down the path so that his last book that he wrote has a pornographic cover, and it's entitled Free Sex, and it's divine angelic revelations telling them to do all sorts of sexual immoralities. That's the type of thing that is happening in the world. Yes, angels are appearing in the world today. Yes, angels are bringing revelations, but they're not God's angels. They're fallen angels. They're evil angels. And according to 1 John 4:1, we are told, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 Timothy 4:1, "The Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter days," which we're living in, "many will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits." Think how deceitful that is. Starting out saying this is a revival in the name of Jesus and ending up being a purely immoral thing. The same thing happened to every major cultist, including Sun Yat-moon, Joseph Smith, and the contemporary cults that are appearing in the world today. Furthermore, evil angels are concerned with inflicting injury and death. Job 1:12, "The Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that is in your power I'll give to you, only put not your hand on him, do not take his life." Hebrews chapter 2 says, "The devil has the power of death, and he is interested in killing and afflicting everyone." Do you know why these evil angels want to kill people? Because the scriptures say in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." And if he can lead them to commit suicide, and the suicide rate is going up, if he can lead them to offer up human sacrifices, and human sacrifices are being offered up. I clipped out of my file just the other day an article where doctors and medical people, as well as policemen, have testified to the number of human sacrifices that have been offered in the United States. A former Satanist who was himself converted testifies to how many hundreds of human sacrifices are being offered up in California, Colorado, Idaho. They're taking hitchhikers off the street, getting them into these cults, offering them up as human sacrifices. It's demons, it's evil angels that are causing this type of thing to happen. Why is it that people are committing murders? Because their dog, a voice spoke through their dog and told them that they're... According to the scriptures, these are evil angels that are working in the lives of men to bring injury and death into the world. Also, much of the sickness that occurs in this world is being inflicted by evil spirits. Matthew chapter 9 says muteness is sometimes caused. Blindness, Matthew 12. Deformity, Luke 13. Certain kinds of seizures, Matthew chapter 17. And other diseases are afflicted by evil spirits. Now let me hasten to say here, not all sickness is afflicted directly by evil spirits. Indirectly, yes. Because if the devil had not fallen, if Lucifer, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, had not fallen, this would be a perfect world. God created a paradise and put Adam and Eve. There was no sickness. And in the new heavens and the new earth, prophesied by Isaiah, mentioned in the book of Revelation, there'll be no sorrow or sickness, crying. But in between, because there are evil spirits and because sin did occur in this world, you and I are subject to the finitude, the fallibility, and the depravity of man, and we catch these. The Bible makes a distinction between things that are directly inflicted by evil spirits and things that we catch in the normal course of our life. But there are, nevertheless, inexplicable, humanly incomprehensible cases that have been verified by medical people where no medical explanation that are best explained by what the Bible says are evil spirits who are inflicting themselves on these people. Now let me ask this question. If all of the spirits in the world today are not good spirits, then how can we tell the difference between the good ones and the evil ones? If angels are active in the world today doing everything we said they were doing last night in the scriptures, but evil angels are also active, how do you tell the difference between a good one and an evil one? I'm quoting now out of a newspaper that is entitled The Baptist Times, June 21st, 1979. And it says, astounding, has a picture of Billy Graham on the front, perhaps the most famous of all evangelists in America. And here's what Billy Graham says. During the next few years, 1979, we'd be in the next few years, wouldn't we? There will be spectacular sightings of God's angels seen by people here on earth, according to the 60-year-old Baptist American evangelist, Dr. Billy Graham. I am convinced that there are angels all around us, sent here by God to help us through personal periods of distress and danger, he told a press reporter during his recent Tampa, Florida campaign. Dr. Graham said that he believed that there are going to be many cases in the future where angels actually become visible to people they have been sent to help. I believe that when they materialize here on earth, they'll look similar to you and me. I am sure that there will be some fantastic encounterings with angels which will stun the world. Their heavenly powers will enable them to appear and disappear at will. In further predictions, Dr. Graham forecast actual meetings between humans and superintelligent beings from outer space who will give us incredible knowledge. There's no doubt in my mind that this will come about and that the day is approaching when we will be involved in tremendous interplanetary programs of cooperation for the benefit of all mankind. Now, I consider that probably the most dangerous thing that Billy Graham has ever said. I consider that the most potentially misused and dangerous thing that this wonderful man of God has ever said, particularly the line which says, we will have encounters with superintelligent beings from outer space who will give us incredible knowledge. As a matter of fact, there is a man by the name of Roland Buck, Assembly of God pastor in Boise, Idaho. He is now no longer with us in this world because at age 61 he dropped dead not too long ago in his office. But he received astounding revelations from angels. 7 foot, 400-pound angels appeared to him in his bedroom. Now here is a man who believes the Bible is the Word of God. And these 7 foot, 400-pound angels laid their hand on him and said, I want you to tell your people this. Well, of course, if somebody 7 foot, 400 pounds laid their hand on you and said, tell somebody this, you would tell them that, no doubt at all. Now, I firmly believe that he had appearances of angels. They appeared many times to him, but I do not believe they were good angels. And I'll tell you why. A cult has already grown up out of these appearances of this man. Secondly, what the angels said to him are contrary to the Word of God. And we'll talk in a moment how we'll be able to tell a good angel from an evil angel. But do not believe every spirit. Just because a spirit comes and says, I am of God, if there are evil spirits and they can deceive and they're out to destroy, then the one thing is sure, you can't believe what they're going to say. Because the devil is a liar and the father of lies, we read in the book of John. And if he's the father of lies, then all of his children are liars and deceiving spirits. Let me give you another example. A Chicago Tribune, November 7th, 1976. Doctor tells of visit from the dead. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, whose work with terminally ill patients has revolutionized attitudes about death and dying, says she was visited by a spirit of a dead patient 9 years ago. Now, Dr. Kubler-Ross is known the world around for her excellent book on death and dying and for the tremendous help this has been scientifically and psychologically to people adjusting to death and the stages that people go through. And she was highly respected in her field. The visit, she said, helped dissuade her from abandoning her pioneer work. She was discouraged with her work, was going to give it up, and a dead person appeared to her in her office. This is what she says. Kubler-Ross says she dismissed the incident at the time as a hoax or hallucination, but that in the past year she has become convinced that it was a spontaneous materialization of somebody who had died almost a year before. Now think of it. At the very time that America's most well-known evangelical evangelist is saying, look for it, folks, they're coming, and they're going to give us unusual information, people are getting visitations on unusual information. Now let's find out more about the visitation. Kubler-Ross recently discussed the mysterious incident in two interviews, asserting that the experience will sound so crazy that I wouldn't be surprised if people think, what people think, oh, she's now become an occultist or a spiritist. The woman appeared, she says, in the office. She was sitting in the office, and this dead person appeared in her office and introduced herself as a patient who had died 10 months before. Kubler-Ross says, the visitor looked identical to the former patient, but Kubler-Ross says she refused to believe it would be the same person. She said, I knew I was considering giving up my work with dying patients, and that she came to tell me not to give it up, Kubler-Ross recalls. She said, the time was not right. I reached out to touch her. I was really testing. I was a scientist, a psychiatrist, and I didn't believe in such things like this. I told her a little white lie. Kubler-Ross is trying to test to see if she's just hallucinating, so she told a little white lie to this dead person in return. I wanted her to write a little note I could give to her minister, which she knew. Why don't you give me a little note and I'll take it to the minister, give a word of thanks or something. The minister and I had helped this woman a lot. This way, you know, I thought I could check her out by her handwriting. The woman did write a note and signed it, Kubler-Ross says. The handwriting analysis indicated the note matched the handwriting of the deceased patient, she said. On the basis of that, Kubler-Ross, this well-respected scientist, now believes that there are people who return from the dead. Now that, as I said, was November 7th, 1976. Here's one that was just taken out of the paper this past year. Trouble follows Kubler-Ross from death to another world. California, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was among the first to encourage candid counseling of dying persons and their families, has turned to spiritualism. That's the wrong spelling of that word. It should be spiritism. Spiritualism would be living a spiritual life. And because of that belief, she has become one of the central figures in a controversy involving life, death, pain, guardian angels, and supernatural spirits that supposedly take human form and engage in sexual relations. As a matter of fact, skipping down the article, she raised scientific skepticism with her statement that she had encountered materialized supernatural spirits and had given names to four of them. Now she's had four of them appear to her, and here are the names. Mario, Anka, Salem. Remember Salem, the witches in Boston? And Willie, the four spirits that have appeared to Kubler-Ross. She said she believed that she lived in the time of Jesus under the name of Isabel. Pre-incarnation goes right along with the view. Dr. Ross has scoffed at the criticism from her peers, saying they will eventually see her as prophetic. She's feeling a kind of prophetic gift coming on. She met somebody in 1976 named Jay Barnum, a former Arkansas sharecropper. Barnum, at 50 years old, balding and speaks of, often ungrammatically, is a drawl. Dr. Ross says he has healing powers and abilities to communicate with spirits. Now listen to this. Barnum recently conducted seances in which he acted as a medium to communicate with what he calls afterlife entities. At many of these sessions, the former female members of the group asserted that they were instructed to enter a side room where they were joined with a few minutes later in the dark by an unclothed man who talked convincingly of being an afterlife entity. The entity, they asserted, then proceeded to convince the women that they should engage in sexual relations with them. Sound familiar? There are angels in the world today, evil angels, and they are interested in idolatry, in immorality, in deception, in lies. And here is one of the highly respected scientists of our day who has had encounters with them in which they've written notes and tested by handwriting than it was the person. Now let's go over to somebody who is religious to see if that would make any difference. This is from Time Magazine, 1976, June 28th issue. Bishop Pike, respected Episcopal bishop. And in his book, he was going to write autobiography, but somebody else wrote it. This biography, The Death and Life of Bishop Pike, in which it says that the book has the full backing of the bishop's latest wife, Diane Candy Pike, whose introduction calls it sensitively written and adds, "It has been my joy to cooperate with the authors." The author tells in some detail how Diane became Pike's mistress long before they were married and nearly a year before he divorced his second wife. So he was already living in immorality contrary to the Bible, living with someone else when he was married. Equally explicit are the accounts of many other aspects of the bishop's career. Was an alcoholic, into drugs, also connected with evil spirits. He was three times picked up drunk and confused by police. He told one airline stewardess she could not mix a good martini standing up in the aisle and showing her how to do it. He later joined Alcoholics Anonymous in 1964. Pike slept with various women during his second marriage, even installing a private line through which they could call him. So they each had their private line to get a hold. Now, this isn't a bishop who's supposed to be preaching the word of God, who's supposed to be preaching thou shalt not commit adultery, who's supposed to be saying do everything in moderation while he is an alcoholic. The bishop's elder son, James A. Pike Jr., committed suicide at age 20, apparently in unhappiness at being a homosexual. They report that Pike himself had one homosexual relationship. Compare Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 7, the book of Timothy, which talks about, in case of 1 Corinthians 6, says, no homosexual will inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty strong words. The author examines Pike's many efforts to talk with the dead. So what did he do? He went to a witch. He went to a medium, tried to contact his dead, and was convinced that he was talking to his dead son. Well, are there evil spirits in the world today? Bishop Pike talked with one. Kubler-Ross talked with one. They're active in getting people to commit suicide, to go into despair. You know what they're called in the Bible? The Hebrew word for it is Ab. Familiar spirits, it's translated in the King James. Let me read a few verses from the Old Testament of what the Hebrew Scriptures say about these evil spirits. Leviticus 19:31. Do not turn to anyone who has a familiar spirit. Leviticus 20, verse 6. I will set my face against those who have these familiar spirits, these angels. Leviticus 20, verse 27. One who has a familiar spirit will be put to death. Capital punishment was used. Deuteronomy 18:11 speaks of consulters with familiar spirits as an abomination to the Lord. 1 Samuel 28:3. Saul put to death all those who had familiar spirits. 1 Samuel 28:7, Saul sought a woman with a familiar spirit. Verse 8, divine by a familiar spirit and bring him back from the dead, he said. Verse 9, Saul had cut off those with familiar spirits from the land. 2 Kings 21:6, Manasseh did much wickedness, namely, he got into astrology, mediums, and those who had familiar spirits. 2 Kings 23:24, those with familiar spirits and mediums and idolaters are abomination to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 10:13, Saul died because he consulted with a familiar spirit, and on through the Old Testament. What happens, you see, when people try and get in touch with the dead, is they get in touch with the evil angel. Not only do good people have good angels that follow them around through their life and help them, but evil people have evil angels, and these are called familiar spirits. And when these people die, if you try and get in touch with the dead, whatever way, whether it's through Ouija boards or astrology or tarot cards or palm reading or seances or trances or visions or appearances, when you try and get in contact with the dead, the evil spirit fakes the dead person, says convincing and supernatural things, and then the person is gullible enough to be caught into that trap. You say, well, that's kind of scary. Because if there are good spirits and evil spirits, and they're doing that kind of deceptive work in the world today, how do I tell the difference? Glad you ask, as that's what I was going to tell you anyway. How to tell the difference? If you had an angel appear to you, or if you had a voice, how would you know the voice was of God or not of God? First of all, let's remind ourselves of the passages of Scripture that say, be sure to test it. Be sure to remember there are false ones. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, test them. 1 Timothy 4:1. Some will depart from the faith, giving attention to deceitful spirits. Matthew 24:23. False messiahs and false prophets will arise. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. 2 Corinthians 11:13 and following. False apostles, deceitful workers. The devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, actually, the best description of how to test for these is found in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the law. And if you have your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, almost all of the tests for finding a good angel from a bad angel are recorded in that chapter. Deuteronomy 18, verse 11. Good spirits, good angels, do not ask you to make contact with the dead or with spirits. If the appearance in any way encourages necromancy, contact with the dead or contact with spirits, then it's an evil spirit. Good spirits never contact, never encourage contact, because there's a great gulf fixed, Luke 16. It's pointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There is no longer contact between the dead and the living. If there is contact between the dead and the living, it's evil spirits making the contact, not good spirits. That's what Moses said under the inspiration of God, which he got on the mountain from the Lord in Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. A one who cast a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Those are all an abomination to the Lord. Now notice, continuing in that chapter, verse 20. But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. If they give some new revelation, if they give something that God has not commanded them to give. See, the prophets in the Old Testament predicted that the Messiah was going to come. And the prophet said, we're finished. And when Malachi put down his pen, Josephus, and the Jewish tradition says there is no prophet that arises, the revelation is finished until Messiah comes. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God used to speak through prophets, but in these last days has spoken through his Son, Jesus. His Son confirmed by miracles to fulfill all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Therefore, if the revelation doesn't come from Christ and his apostles, all of who, by the way, were Jewish, that revelation is not of God. Anyone who claims to have a revelation today from an angel, it wasn't an angel of God, because they don't give revelations. God's full and final revelation has come from the prophets and their fulfillment in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, not only if they ask you to contact the dead and speak in the name of other gods, but do they speak anything that is false? Verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or is true, that thing the Lord has not spoken. just look at these so-called prophets with revelations, and all of them have something false in it. Jean Dixon admits that 40% of what she says, 30 or 40%, doesn't come to pass. That means she's a false prophet. Because if one thing doesn't come to pass, God can't make any mistakes. He's absolutely perfect and true. Thy word is true. The sum of thy word is true. Psalm 139 says, one mistake proves they're a false prophet. Joseph Smith gave many false prophecies. They're all documented in a book, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, by people who spent 30 years in the Mormon church, Gerald and Sandra Tanner. Notice the next test here in verse 10. Do they use means of divination or trances? Do they cast spells, get you in a trance, go to a medium, a fortune teller? God doesn't speak that way. Those are evil spirits that speak that way. So those would be fallen angels, not good angels. Now, there are a number of others in this passage, but I'd like to draw your attention to two others elsewhere in the Bible. Galatians 1:8 says, though an angel from heaven come with any other gospel, let him be accursed. Suppose an angel came to you, as did to Joseph Smith, and said, here's a gospel. I'd like you to preach the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. The true gospel was lost. They cut all those verses out of the Bible in the Middle Ages. Now I want to restore the true gospel through you. If an angel comes like that, Paul says, say to him, cursed angel, get out of here. Let him be accursed, because that's not an angel of God. There is only one gospel, and that gospel is Jesus died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead, and appeared to many. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and anything apart from that gospel, which was predicted, by the way, in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, in Psalm 22, my hands and my feet, they've pierced. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Any other gospel is a false gospel. Furthermore, we read that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, the true message is always, quote, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If the prophecy does not center in the Messiah, Jesus, which all of the Old Testament prophecies do, if it's a prophecy about some peripheral thing or about some odd thing, Roland Buck talks about going to heaven and seeing the archives of what the people in his congregation were giving. He saw the money that was given by the various people in his congregation. Well, God doesn't play games like that and show the preacher the archives in heaven so he can know what his congregation is giving or not giving. If the prophecy doesn't center in Jesus Christ, it's not a prophecy that comes from God. Well, conclusion, very simply this. The Bible says over 300 times they're angels. It says a third of them are bad. It says those third are active in the world behind political powers, deceiving people, getting murders, immorality, crime, abuse, and especially deceiving people by religion and false cults. The Bible tells us to beware, to test. Good angels never bring messages through trances, visions, dreams, palm reading, Ouija boards, tarot cards, contacting spirits. They never give false prophecies. They never speak in the name of another God, and they don't come with a new gospel. Beloved, believe not every spirit, John said, but test the spirits whether they be of God. Jesus Christ came and died, 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 2. And when he died, he defeated evil spirits. They are defeated foes. They have absolutely no power at all. And if we take on the armor of God as Christians, they have no attack on us as believers, because Jesus has defeated them on the cross and led captivity captive and gave gifts to people. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are not subject to the definitive destructive influences of these powers, because you're a child of God, and you have a hedge around you as Job did, and the evil forces cannot get through. If you aren't, then I just have one prophecy that I would like to give, and it's built on God's word, and that is that you will be subject more and more to the deceptive, religious, good, wonderful, but ultimately destructive influences of bad angels, of which we will hear more, and we will have more newspaper articles and more books and more brilliant scholarly people having encounters with these beings in the days to come. I'm not a prophet, but the Bible predicts this, so it's easy to say that that's true. You'll have to decide whether you would want to worship the true God and follow him as the good angels do, or whether you will be subject to the deception of the lie and the destruction of the devil and go where the Bible says the devil and all his angels will be ultimately cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where they'll be tormented for day and night, ever and evermore. The final destruction of those evil spirits who are deceiving people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that we have no fear because true love has cast out all fear, and that Jesus Christ has emancipated us from the bondage of the evil one who all our lifetime had us subject to the fear of death. But he has arisen from the grave, conquered death, and we can say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And know that through Jesus Christ we have life and life forevermore. And I pray that in these days of deception and delusion that we will be aware of the tactics of the evil one, the wiles of the devil, and the deceptions that would lead men away from your truth. And we pray that as we open your word and it speaks to us, that we'll be constantly warned, exhorted, and encouraged in the most holy faith. In Jesus' name we pray.